Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning into this podcast. This is number 381 from our catalog, originally aired June 22nd, 1994, entitled Raw Intelligence. Now, please be aware that all of the contact information in this broadcast is very dated, so please write to Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925, if you'd like to get in touch with us. Thank you.
Lights out on the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the perfume of your body, soul, and mind.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hour of the Time. Although, after you hear tonight's program, you may not like that welcome at all. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side, because tonight is Raw Intelligence Night, and I'm going to stick it right up your nose. That brainwashing exists in America, mind control. Go watch Star Wars again. How many of you sent your children off to see the Flintstones now playing across America at a theater near you? How many of you know what the Flintstone movie is all about? How many of you understood it? How many of you understood the Indiana Jones series of movies? How many of you understood They Live? I can go on and on and on and on. You better go watch the Flintstones yourself. And then you better sit down and explain to your children, who may have already seen it, what it really means. For it is a hardcore lesson in Socialism 101. Long Beach, California. A member of the Board of Trustees in the Long Beach, California Community College at 4600 East Carson Street. A member of the Office of Naval Intelligence. The source for that is a book entitled Loose Lips, Sink Ships. In a class 041, Anatomy and Physiology, a professor named Skill said this to his class as he passed out a test. Quote, "This is a cognition test, so we can help you," end quote. End quote. The next day, ladies and gentlemen, a library search revealed that the test was the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, the MMPI. Further search revealed this in the California Education Code, Section 7600, and I quote, "The president of the colleges shall have the right to have a college student committed for psychiatric examination without civil or criminal sanction, end quote. No mind control in America? You haven't been asleep? You're not sheeple? Well, keep listening, folks. The checks are coming in. Those who paid their income tax early this year are getting their checks back. Ladies and gentlemen, and since we broadcast the truth about the endorsement on the checks to the Internal Revenue Service and advised people to pay their checks to the order of the United States Treasury, guess what's coming back? You see, we really put a kink in them. A check sent in by a CAGI member came back where he had written in, pay to the order of the United States Treasury, stamped over it, is a stamp that says Internal Revenue Service. That is forgery under the law. It is against the law. It is a felony. It is a criminal act. On the back of the check is no endorsement whatsoever. None. So you see, folks, we are doing them great harm on this show. They don't even dare endorse the checks now that they have forged, committed a criminal act. A felony, in fact. And if you're smart, you'll start prosecuting them for it. The Human Development Report, ladies and gentlemen, 1994, released by the United Nations Human Development Program on June 1st. Get it, and read it. Get it now. The Human Development Report. The Human Development Report, 1994, released by the United Nations Human Development Program on June 1st, sets forth a blueprint to destroy the sovereign nation state and replace it with a one-world United Nations dictatorship by March 1995. I told you I was going to rub your nose in it. I've been telling you for years there's no time left. There is no time. We are up against the wall. The line has been drawn in the sand. War has been declared against us. The law is on our side. Form your militias now. Arm yourselves. You are fixing to lose your freedom and become a slave in the New World Order. Their target for one world United Nations dictatorship is March 1995. The United Nations DP report, endorsed by UN Secretary General Boutros-Ghali, outlines plans for establishment of world institutions with powers to dictate policies to government while simultaneously declaring war on the vulnerable nations of the developing sector under the ruse of a concept of human security to replace the imperatives of national security of sovereign countries. The UNDP report sets the agenda and protocols for the March 1995 Heads of State Summit on Social Development to be held in Copenhagen, Denmark. This summit is to follow this September's Cairo Conference on Population, where Boutros-Ghali et al. Are demanding that nations agree to population reduction as the criterion of economic performance. I wrote all of this in my book, ladies and gentlemen, over 4 years ago. Everything that I've written, everything that I've said, everything that I've broadcast has come true exactly as I have stated, except for one thing. When I said that Manuel Noriega, due to his status as the head of a foreign nation, could not and would not be tried and found guilty in an American courtroom and sent to jail. You see, their schedule was way ahead of where I even thought, and I knew that we were in great danger. This summit, ladies and gentlemen, is to follow this September's Cairo Conference on Population. The UNDP proposals, if implemented, would create the enforcement apparatus for such genocidal aims. And specifically, the UNDP report calls for the creation of, one, a world court with powers to subpoena nations and individuals, a world police, a world central bank which would give the International Monetary Fund sole power to enforce austerity on nations, a world treasury, an economic security council with a mandate to interfere in those states that do not comply to United Nations protocols for genocide or free trade liberalization, a world trade and production organization which would not only regulate free trade but also dictate production quotas to nations. To fund its one world government, the UNDP report calls for global taxation. Global taxation. This is to include taxes on pollution, taxes on savings from demilitarization, taxes on all foreign exchange transactions, and a global income tax on nations whose people average an income above $10,000 a year. That's you, dummy. Genocide, of course, is the aim. The United Nations require such global powers of dictatorship. The report makes clear in order to enforce population reduction. All outlined in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, 4 years ago. The biggest threat to human security, the report states on page 34, is unchecked population growth. The report states that by the year 2015, world population must be stabilized at 7.3 billion. For this goal to be reached, nations must commit themselves to participating in annual reviews of the 2020 Compact to be held as joint donor recipient meetings on each country, as well as annual reviews in the Economic and Social Council. And I am telling you now that in the New World Order, the Communist Chinese method of population control, zero population growth, will be enforced. Further, the UNDP demands that while the UN heightens its powers to militarily intervene in the sovereign territory of any nation, the militaries of the developing countries must be dismantled, their national security stripped. The military forces of the United States and what used to be known as the Soviet Union will be merged and will become the world police force. Don't believe it? Keep listening, sheeple. We're up against the wall. We can no longer play games, and I can no longer tolerate your stupidity, your ignorance, or your apathy. It is our fault collectively that we are in this situation. For most of my life, I was stupid, ignorant. I believed what I was told. Well, I'm awake now. I despise myself for those years of stupidity. And I don't feel any better about you and yours. For if we don't shake ourselves out of this lethargic sleep that we are in, we are doomed. Senate Joint Resolution 112. 103rd Congress, First Session, entitled The Collective Security Participation Resolution. Listen carefully. In the Senate of the United States, July 14th, Legislative Day, June 30th, 1993, Mr. Biden for himself, Mr. Pell, Mr. Bourne, and Mr. Simon introduced the following joint resolution, which was read twice and referred to the Committee on Foreign Relations. Joint resolution entitled The Collective Security Participation Resolution, resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, Section 1, title. This resolution may be cited as the Collective Security Participation Resolution. Section 2, findings. Congress finds as follows. The global framework embodied in the United Nations Charter for maintaining international peace and security, forged with American leadership at the end of World War II for four decades, largely failed to provide security guarantees promised by the Charter. This is an admission by Congress that what I told you is true, that world government is being foisted from the United States and from the Soviet Union and from Russia, although they only admit our part here. Forged with American leadership at the end of World War II for four decades, The end of the Cold War has opened unprecedented opportunity for multilateral cooperation under United Nations auspices to maintain and, where necessary, restore the peace through collective military and other actions. 3. Collective military action in response to Iraq's invasion of Kuwait was taken under Article 42 of the United Nations Charter, under which the Security Council may undertake operations by air, sea, or land forces of members of the United Nations. Congress admits that what I told you is correct, that the real reason for Desert Storm is to strike down in international law the concept of sovereign nations and establish the United Nations' right to enforce Article 42 of the United Nations Charter. Number 4. With the authorization of the Security Council under Chapter 7 of the Charter and pursuant to authorization by the Congress, the United States undertook military actions in Kuwait and Iraq as leader of a multinational coalition with United Nations sanction. Despite Security Council approval of an armed mission to Somalia to protect international relief operations from attack, efforts to assemble an effective force faltered until the United States offered to make a substantial military commitment there under United Nations auspices, after which a considerable number of other nations volunteered small military contingents. 6. The Charter contemplates that the Security Council might take action to maintain or restore international peace and security with forces made available to the Council pursuant to Article 43, which provides that, quote, all members undertake to make available to the Security Council on its call and in accordance with a special agreement or agreements, armed forces, assistance, and facilities, including rights of passage necessary for the purpose of maintaining international peace and security, end quote. You better be listening, and you had better understand what I'm telling you, and you had better wake up. 7. Although Article 43 provides that, quote, the agreement or agreements shall be negotiated as soon as possible, end quote, no agreement under Article 43 has ever been reached during the United Nations 48-year history. That is a lie, as State Department 42 77 clearly demonstrates. 8. From the American perspective, the formal designation of forces from various nations under Article 43 offers the opportunity to involve other nations more promptly and reliably in future collective security actions and could thereby strengthen the institutions of collective security while spreading the burden of collective security more equitably. That's State Department 7277, folks, not 4277. 7277 is the correct number. 9. United States leadership in achieving special agreements among members of the United Nations under Article 43 would therefore serve the interests of the United States and of all United Nations members. Remember, folks, you heard it here first and nowhere else. This is the only, the last bastion of free speech and truth left in this world, the hour of the time. Remember, the United States created the United Nations. The United Nations is built on United States soil. The United States has financed the United Nations from its inception. The United States has been the police force for the United Nations in every action that the United Nations has ever taken. 10. The United Nations Participation Act of 1945, 22 United States Code 287D, provides that, and I have quoted this many times, as being the instrument of the dissolution of the sovereignty of the United States of America and the shredding of the Constitution. There is no Constitution, and you'd better get that through your thick heads. We've been at war for many years, and you didn't even know it. The United Nations Participation Act of 1945 provides that, A, the President is authorized to negotiate an agreement with the Security Council, quote, providing for the numbers and types of armed forces, their degree of readiness and general locations, and the nature of facilities and assistance, including rights of passage, to be made available to the Security Council on its call for the purpose of maintaining international peace and security in accordance with Article 43 of the Charter, end quote. And that's why this silly bullshit that's going around the Patriot Facts Network and is being promulgated around the world by the militia of Montana and many other stupid people is a complete fraud. They don't need it. It's not necessary. It's a lie. It's designed to get you stirred up into doing something stupid so that they can label patriots terrorists and take your weapons from you and lock you up so that you will be harmless in the battles that will come. And you better start understanding who you are and what you're capable of understanding and what you're capable of doing. Who they are and what they are and what resources they have available to them. If they don't have the brains, they have the money to buy the brains. They have technology you've never dreamed of. And you sit out there playing stupid little child games as if you were playing cowboys and Indians in the backyard. This is no game. And we are not children. And we had better have our wits about us. And we had better know what's happening, and we better know who is who and what is what, and we had better know it now. B, any such agreement shall be subject to the approval of the Congress by appropriate act or joint resolution. C, the President shall not be deemed to require the authorization of the Congress to make available to the Security Council on its call, pursuant to such special agreement or agreements, the armed forces, facilities, or assistance provided for therein, and this authorization shall not be construed as an authorization to the President by the Congress to make available to the Security Council for such purpose armed forces, facilities, or assistance in addition to the forces, facilities, and assistance provided for in such special agreement or agreements. Do you hear the double talk? Congress tries to absolve themselves from responsibility and then says that it's already been done. Can you hear? Are you listening? You see, they say all of these, this authorization shall not, this authorization shall not, does not give the President permission, shall not be deemed require the authorization of the Congress, shall not be construed as an authorization to the President to make available to the Security Council for such purpose armed forces, facilities, or assistance. And then listen carefully, because this is what you never do, is listen carefully. And you never read documents properly. And you're not reading the right documents to begin with. In addition to the forces, facilities, and assistance provided for in such special agreement or agreements as the United Nations Participation Act of 1945 gives the President the authority to do without even telling Congress anything. Section 3, agreement and action under Article 43 of the United Nations Charter. A. Obligations under Article 43 of the United Nations Charter. Congress finds that members of the United Nations are obligated under the Charter to act, quote, as soon as possible on the initiative of the Security Council, end quote, to negotiate, quote, a special agreement or agreements, end quote, under Article 43 to make available to the Security Council forces and facilities necessary, quote, for the purpose of maintaining international peace and security, end quote. What does it mean? Anything that they want it to mean. Who negotiates? The President. Who does he have to ask permission from? No one. Who does he have to report to? No one. B, negotiation of agreement. Congress urges the President to initiate discussions among members of the Security Council, the General Assembly, and the Military Staff Committee leading to negotiations under Article 43 of the United Nations Charter of, quote, a special agreement or agreements with equitable terms under which designated forces from various countries, including the United States, would be available to the Security Council. C, United States site for international forces training. Are you listening? You see, you're looking around for foreign troops, you stupid sheeple. I've been telling you for years, you don't need any foreign troops. The military forces of the United States of America are the police force for the United Nations. You don't have to have anybody from any other country here to do the bidding of the United Nations, although there will be. C, United States site for international forces training. Congress affirms its support of the commitment made to the United Nations General Assembly by President George Bush to make bases and facilities available to the Security Council for multinational training of forces under the United Nations. D, congressional role, Congress. 1, urges the president, urges the president to consult with the Committee on Foreign Affairs and the Committee on Armed Services of the House of Representatives and the Committee on Foreign Relations and the Committee on Armed Services of the Senate in the course of negotiating an Article 43 agreement. And 2, expresses its intent to give prompt consideration to any such agreement negotiated under Article 43 of the Charter. Washington, D.C. is full of traitors, scum-sucking traitors. E, presidential authority pursuant to congressional approval of an Article 43 agreement. Congress reaffirms its commitment to the principle embodied in the United Nations Participation Act of 1945. That congressional approval of a United States agreement under Article 43 of the Charter shall have the effect of providing the President with full authority to direct that the United States Armed Forces designed, designated, and such agreement be employed as may be necessary to support decisions of the United Nations Security Council. However, it is not necessary. Yeah, you've been telling me I'm crazy all these years, haven't you? It's all been in my book, all of this, years ago, if you had just read it. First time I got up and started telling people what was coming. Well, I won't go into that. Very painful. I don't even like to think of it. Think I'm nuts? The Toronto Star, Thursday, June 16th, 1994. Canadian Peace Enforcement Unit urged. Report suggests United Nations force could head off disasters. Ottawa. Canada has been urged to create a well-armed peace enforcement unit that the United Nations could use to prevent disasters like the slaughter in Rwanda and ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. Are an attempt by patriots in the United States to save our freedoms. The Home News, Elizabeth, New Jersey, Friday, October 2nd, 1992. Fort Dix begins scaled-back role as reserve training facilities. In recent weeks, the future of Fort Dix has brightened following a suggestion last month by President Bush that the base could be used to train a multinational peacekeeping force. The Pentagon later said it was looking into the idea. Meanwhile, the Federal Bureau of Prisons and the Army have reached an agreement to create a low-security prison for 3,200 nonviolent inmates at Fort Dix. The Bureau is in final negotiations with the Army to lease space at the base. The prison will take up about 209 of the base's acres and require building a 12-foot fence and converting barracks into dormitory houses. Next gun control battle, Brady 2. The federal gun control law bearing his name went into effect yesterday with Jim Brady promoting a legislative sequel, Brady 2, calling for the licensing of gun owners and the registration of firearms, limiting handgun buys to one per month, and outlawing semi-automatic assault weapons, tightening the regulation and screening of gun dealers, and increasing the tax on handguns. You know, I've had a semi-automatic 22 rifle all during my childhood. It was never an assault rifle. It was a squirrel rifle. Now, all of a sudden, it has become an assault rifle. Arming for the World Cup. Arming for the World Cup. May 22nd, 1994. What paper is this? The Sunday Record. Olive drab National Guard helicopters flutter overhead. Police radios squawk with commands. Dogs sniff for explosives. Security cameras pan the crowd. SWAT teams wait nearby with riot gear. The Pentagon has millions of dollars and is spending it for security in the upcoming World Cup soccer games. What happened to Posse Comitatus? What happened to Posse Comitatus? Why are you standing for this? Why is the military acting as a police force on United States soil for soccer games? When are you going to wake up, you stupid people? How many times must I have to stick my neck out and sham it down your throats before you wake up? What is wrong with you? Again, the Sunday Record, May 22nd, 1994. Police getting crash course in riot control from the military. World Cup, New Jersey, mobilizing security forces. Texas, mobilizing security forces. Military, gearing up for security of World Cup soccer matches. And in the New American, you know, when I first started telling the world what I knew, trying to wake people up so that we could save our liberties, the John Birch Society branded me as a wacko conspiracy nut. Other people have branded them the same thing, but they thought I was so far out that I was so far over the edge that I couldn't even be asked to come and speak at the John Birch Society. But now, in the New American of the John Birch Society, on page 5, and this is the June 27th, 1994 issue, Death March to Cairo. United Nations elites prepare for their global anti-life convention. Worldwide genocide they talk about here. They talk about population control, all in my book. Don't go away, folks. I might be back. I'm only going to say this once. I've been saying it every night for a long, long time, and some of you have followed my advice. Most of you have not. Most of you have been sitting on your butts your whole life, have never done anything, will never do anything. Unless somebody sticks a gun to your head. I'm only going to tell you once tonight, folks, because I'm tired of repeating myself. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. Get ready for what's coming. If you don't understand what's coming at this late date, then get the hell out of our way. June 30th, 1994, media advisory from the Turner Foundation, Incorporated. That's Ted Turner, folks. I don't know how many times I go somewhere and speak and somebody comes up and says, "Aren't you happy Ted Turner created CNN so that we could get the truth?" Makes me sick every time I hear that. Ted Turner isn't with us. Ted Turner's never been with us. If he was with us, he would have been destroyed when he tried to found CNN. Instead, he was helped. Now, who did he marry? Hanoi Jane. What's the matter with you? Ted Turner on our side? Bullshit. Turner Foundation Incorporated, Media Advisory, Forum on Population and Development to be held June 30th, the National Academy of Sciences, the Turner Foundation, the Shorenstein Barone Center at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and the Pew Charitable Trust Global Stewardship Initiative will sponsor a special forum, quote, Beyond the Numbers, Population Issues for the 21st Century, end quote. On Thursday, June 30th, from 9:30 a.m. until noon at the National Academy of Sciences Auditorium, 2100 C Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. I'm going to say that again, folks. I want every CADGI member in the area in that audience. I want every member of the intelligence service in that area in that audience. The Shorenstein Barone Center at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and the Pew Charitable Trust Global Stewardship Initiative will sponsor a special forum, Beyond the Numbers, Population Issues for the 21st Century, on Thursday, June 30th. Thursday, June 30th, from 9:30 a.m. until noon at the National Academy of Sciences Auditorium, 2100 C Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., District of Traders, it should be DT from now on. Vice President Al Gore, have you read his book yet? Where he blames Christians for everything that's ever happened in the world? Christians are guilty of a lot, believe me. But they're not guilty of everything that's ever happened in the world. He claims if they eliminate Christians from this earth, everything will be fine. He says it in his book. He's the Vice President of the United States. Vice President Al Gore and Undersecretary of State Tim Worth will be joined by more than 20 other panelists, including United States and international scientists, members of Congress, members of the press, policy makers. You know what policy makers means? Family planning providers. You know what that means? And other leading experts on population growth and sustainable development. Marvin Kalb, director of the Shorenstein Barone Center, will moderate a two-hour panel discussion that includes a dialogue with the audience. The list of participants is attached. I have the list. The forum is timed to coincide with preparations for the United Nations International Conference on Population and Development, scheduled to take place in Cairo, Egypt, September 5th through the 13th. The Cairo conference will adopt a program of action, to guide multilateral and national population policy into the next century. This forum offers an unparalleled opportunity to explore the debate on population issues and to catalyze support for enlightened policy making in Cairo and beyond, said Ted Turner, president of the Turner Foundation, in a written invitation to leaders in the field of population and sustainable government. Do you really think he married Jane Fonda because she's good in bed? No, it's a meeting of the minds. It's a meeting of the minds. Marxism. It is expected that when passed, the Cairo Program of Action will provide the foundation for a vigorous international effort to stabilize population growth, ameliorate poverty, improve the health of women and children, ensure universal primary education, and meet human needs at reduced environmental cost. These goals, however, will not be met without the informed support and participation of the international community, said Ted Turner. Is that enough, or do you want more? And here's another one. Remember I told you? Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Greitz is, in fact, a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Listen to this. This is taken from a magazine called Nexus, the April-May 1994 issue, page 27. I'm going to read verbatim. The Council on Foreign Relations' current roster of more than 2,600 members within the far larger international alliance includes key representatives of almost all of the major corporations, foundations, financial organizations, communications conglomerates, and think tanks in the United States. At any given time, approximately half of the CFR are serving or have served in the United States government, exactly like I told you in my book. I continue. All three media acknowledged candidates for the 1992 presidential race were linked to the CFR, while the major non-establishment candidate, Bo Greitz, tipped his hand to journalist Jay Katz when he slipped him a Freemasonic handshake at a survivalist convention. Wake up, sheeple. You've been had on a grand scale. Again, when I first came out and outlined the method for taking the guns away from the American people, when I exposed the fact that drugs were being brought into the United States by the intelligence community, that the welfare state was created to create a dependent people with no work ethic who could be addicted to these drugs, then by withdrawing the aid to these people, they would be forced into a life of crime in order to feed their addiction. Guns were brought in. Guns were funneled into their hands to create crime across this nation. It's all in my book years ago. When I first began to reveal this in 1976, I was severely attacked, beaten, and lost my leg when I was run off the side of a cliff. Ladies and gentlemen, the John Birch Society called me a wacko. Now, in The New American, Volume 10, Number 7, dated April 4th, 1994, on the cover, toward a police state using a national epidemic of crime and violence as their justification, media pundits and collectivist politicians are aggressively campaigning to disarm private citizens and strengthen federal law enforcement powers. Firearms and Freedom, Why Crime Pays, The Curse of Compromise. The entire issue is devoted to what they called me nuts for years ago. Church agrees to dispose of guns. Remember, folks, during my first year of broadcast, the hour of the time, and when the Waco incident occurred, I told you that the next target would be the Church Universal and Triumphant in Montana, Elizabeth Clare Prophet's group. I was correct. Only they didn't go surround her with agents, and they didn't attack her like they did in Waco. They couldn't, because of what we have broadcast, the truth of the Waco incident. So what did they did? They bought Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, you are a traitor. You sold out. You're a traitor. Telling you that to your face over the airs right now. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, Church Universal and Triumphant, you are a bunch of stupid sheeple. You sold out. You see, the IRS took away their tax-exempt status. And they made a deal. In order to get their tax-exempt status back, they agreed that all the members of the church and the church would give up their guns. You were bought. Your freedoms were bought. Anything that is bought is the property of the owner. You are now slaves, you stupid jerks. See, I call that shot right, didn't I, folks? I always call them right. I've been wrong once, and the only reason I was wrong once is because I thought they weren't as far ahead as they were. Freedom Summer, group of 20 African Latino Youth Summit, Los Angeles, works to reduce tensions between black and Latino youths. Big, long article. I'm not going to read it all. It's real, real long, folks. Came from the LA Times, calling all youth to action. Here's a spirit bubbling up, says Helen Denham. People want to understand what causes the problems they face, and they want to see things get better. By the end of the summer, there will be thousands more with a sense of what's wrong and a sense of what to do about it. Denham is talking about Freedom Summer 94, which will be launched on June 21st and will last 3 months. For the first time, leaders of youth activist organizations across the United States will meet and establish a working relationship. The leaders also hope to inspire millions of other youths to get involved in their own communities. This is the new brown shirts. It's happening all over the United States. Parents are not there. The youth are being indoctrinated into the new world order. And because most of you aren't teaching your children what you should be teaching them, they will get no other view. Now for some bright news. Some bright news, ladies and gentlemen. The Fort Pierce, Florida Tribune, Sunday, June 12, 1994. County organizes own militia. County organizes own militia to defend right to bear arms. And that's the only thing I disagree with, is to defend our freedoms. The right to bear, keep, and bear arms is guaranteed already. If you live in Florida, if you live in Milton, join the militia. If the militia isn't organized properly, organize it properly. Make it work. Here I have a confidential memo by Handgun Control Incorporated, National Headquarters, 1225 I Street, Northwest, Suite 1100, Washington, D.C. Western Region Office, 10951 West Pico Boulevard, Room 204, Los Angeles, California. I don't know if those addresses are correct or not, but I do know that this outlines, during many, many pages, the coming stripping of American citizens of all of their firearms through various methods. Legislation making firearms illegal. Unbelievable tax on firearms. Range owners, anyone who has a firing range, would have to pay a minimum of $15,000 a year tax just to operate it. Here's another one. Same thing. Came over the internet. The first one came directly from Handgun Control Incorporated. This one from a different source through the internet. Then, folks, we have an article in the Los Angeles Times. For once, they told the truth. The Los Angeles Times, Sunday, May 29th, 1994. Public perception of soaring crime skewed, expert says. And it's the truth. Safety. Polls show that a majority of Americans fear becoming victims, but statistics indicate their fears are often unfounded. Media politicians are blamed. That is, media and politicians are blamed. By Arlene Levinson, Associated Press. Wanted. The true crime rate. If ever a mystery persisted in the annals of American crime, it's the magnitude of crime itself. Anxiety about crime grips the land. But looking at federal statistics, you have to wonder why. The FBI reports crime is merely crawling upward. Victim surveys show crime actually falling. But for many people, an evening stroll in an unlocked car or going alone to the mall hint at lunacy. After tucking in their children, many parents bolt the doors, check the alarms, and pat the guns under their beds goodnight. Measuring the dimensions of crime in the United States is a statistical nightmare. This is a vast, populous country in which crime rates vary sharply, even from police precinct to neighboring police precinct. Try to draw a picture of crime besetting 250 million people, and you lose the detail. What you get are garbled statistics that make you believe that all of the crime in the nation is in your backyard. The truth is, most of the crime in the nation is in inner city ghettos. Poor people killing poor people stealing from poor people raping poor people. And not because they're poor, as the liberals would have you believe, but because they were taught no worth ethic. They were taught no morals. They come from single-parent families where as soon as they get big enough, they can kick their mother's butt. They do what they want to do, and that is the truth of it. That is the whole truth of it. Then there's a big article from the LA Times about the Los Angeles SWAT elite police force adapts to a changing world. And then, folks, if you think I was full of baloney all the time, just get a load of this. You see, you've all been told that we're decreasing our military, that we're disarming, and we are for the United States. But something else is happening, folks. While we are disarming the United States, we are building the United Nations police force. and where you hear all this gobbledygook bullshit coming out of Washington, D.C., that military spending is decreasing, it is a lie, and none of you bother to check. Not one of you bother to check, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the Clinton administration plans to spend $271 billion on the military in 1995. That's no cut. That's exactly the same level as the height of the Cold War. $271 billion on the military, but not for the United States. It's for United States troops who will function as United Nations world police. Spending on unneeded Cold War weapons continues at a high rate. The funding for the development of war technology in secret continues at higher than ever spending. The military capability of the United States today and for the foreseeable future will exceed by a huge margin the capability of any other nation in the world. Why? To make sure that no other nation in the world rebels against the new world order. The United States is the only country in the world, ladies and gentlemen, spending to fight two major wars at the same time without the help of allies. Military spending contributes heavily to ruinous federal deficits, which continue to drive up the national debt at a reckless pace. The Clinton administration's military spending plan is 1995, $271 billion. 1996, $261 billion. 1997, $256 billion. 1998, $257 billion. 1999, $258 billion. Technically, they're correct. The United States is disarming, but the United States at the very same time is arming the United Nations. Oh, when will you wake up? All this was documented in the treason papers that we have been trying to get you to purchase, because that is the ammunition, the proof. From the beginning, it's documented. Harry Truman's statement that he is creating a new world order is documented in there. What is his new world order? He spells it out. One world government, free from war. Disarmed nations of the world, brought together under the UN General Assembly. When are you going to wake up? Harry Truman was a traitor. Why do you think all of a sudden, when the Socialist Democrats are in power, they publish this great book glorifying Harry Truman, and all of a sudden they're talking articles in newspapers and magazines about how great his presidency was? He was a traitor. Notice how all of a sudden in magazines and newspapers, when Clinton became president, they began to glorify Alger Hiss, convicted of spying for the Soviet Union. Alger Hiss wrote the United Nations Charter. The United Nations Charter is almost a carbon copy of the Constitution of the Soviet Union, or the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Don't believe it? Get a copy and compare the two. How many of you still don't have a copy of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence hanging on your wall right in front of you right now? You're not Americans. You don't even know the meaning of the word. You're not real people. You're not smart enough to be real people. When I call you sheeple, it is the truth, the absolute bottom line truth. You are stupid, ignorant, and apathetic. And just like in Germany, until they come to take you out of your house, you will think of every reason in the world not to do anything when they take your neighbor out of his house. And when they tell you it's because he's a drug dealer or a terrorist, when in fact he is an American patriot sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign or domestic. When are you going to wake up? And if Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz was such a brilliant, wonderful intelligence officer, how come he has never known anything that you've ever heard on the hour of the time? How come he's never told you any of this? How come he tells you all the time that you don't have to organize, you don't have to do anything, because if you read the Bible, you know who's going to win? I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you read the Bible or not. God helps those who help themselves, and if you are not willing to fight for your freedoms, you're going to become a slave. And that's the truth of it. If you think you're going to be raptured and you're not going to go through any of this, you're full of shit. Good night. And God bless you all.